So the Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Beis, which appears in other places as well, tells us that there are certain things that are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And among them is the concept of shiurim. Shiurim meaning that, for example, as Rashi tells us, Sheli Surin, Kigon, Kizayis, the Chal Achilas Isser, that any Achilas Isser is defined by a Kizayis, really any Achilas Heter is also defined by a Kizayis. Achila is defined as a Kizayis. Vik Kosevas, Yom HaKippurim. And on Yom Kippur, the larger shear of a Kosevas. Now, by the way, you see this language is interesting, and this just kind of alludes to something we mentioned in the past week. You'd say, what do you mean? Achilas Isser is one thing and Yom Kippur is another thing. Yom Kippur is not Achilas Isser? So, apparently... Right, so apparently you see that they're defined differently. And that was why, just to kind of bridge our topics here, why there was the suggestion that maybe that's why it's okay to feed children on Yom Kippur. Obviously, if the children are going to chalila get sick, you feed them, but we're assuming more than that. Right? We're assuming that we don't just wait till the child is in a dangerous state and then feed them. That's a very, very dangerous approach, not recommended for anyone. It's not the way you do things. But it seems like there's more. It seems like there is a heter, there is a permissibility to feed children without regard to their life and death concerns, just to feed them, and to not worry that constitutes achilas isser. So one approach, as we saw, is that Yom Kippur is not defined by achila. It's defined by something else. It's defined by the concept of inui, and its opposite, yishuv hadas. And therefore, the terminology just is fundamentally different for a child and for an adult, and the whole concept doesn't make sense. Maybe for a 12-year-old boy, 11-year-old girl, it might make sense when they're ready at that stage where they're talking about chinuch. But for a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, the concept of fasting is just a whole different reality. It doesn't have any connection to what the adult is going through, and therefore the logic is not the same. As opposed to something like a chazer. If you're going to feed a child chazer, it's the same experience as the adult eating chazer. It's the same thing. And it's more shaykh to talk about a prohibition to feed them. Now, just to say one more point about this before going back into the shiurim concept, there's another reason to be makel, perhaps, when it comes to feeding a child on Yom Kippur. Another reason to view the isser differently. Anyone want to try to suggest what that could be? Or any other reason? Sorry? Why is it that we feed children on Yom Kippur and we don't necessarily do so only when it's a pikuach nefesh kind of consideration? We basically, certainly below a certain age, just feed them normally. So why is that the case if we're not allowed to feed them tray food? So why are we allowed to feed them on Yom Kippur? And If you want to talk about the other inuyim, you saw the Ran the other day. So the Ran wonders if there's a difference between Dereis and Drabanan, and that was only useful because maybe the other inuyim, besides Achilu Shtia, the other inuyim is a big machlokas, whether they're Dereis or Drabanan. By the way, now that you've seen that Ran, I don't know if you feel like you have a clear sense of what he says. It's a big machlokas what the conclusion of that Ran is. Whether he concludes to say the Inuyim or Daraisa, the Rabbanan. If you read the later Achronim, half of them read him one way, half of them read him another way. It wasn't really clear. I don't know if you found that in your experience when you read the Ran, that it wasn't incredibly clear how he was concluding on this point. But in any event, so that's a discussion you could have by the other Inuyim, maybe they're the Rabbanan. But Achila Shdia is for sure Daraisa. So how do we justify feeding children on Yom Kippur? So one approach we just mentioned, that maybe the whole concept of fasting is fundamentally different. Any other approaches? Yeah?
Perhaps maybe you might not go to chinuch because it's just restricting yourself or making yourself feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying similar to what we're saying, that just the way you feel is different? So that's the thing, maybe if that's similar to what we just said, then that the concept just does not translate. And it just doesn't apply the same way. But is there another approach you could take here? Well, one approach that you could take, and I'm just, this is also just helpful because we can mention something else that's discussed based on this, is that maybe there's a fundamental difference between chazer and the glatt kosher food that you can't eat on Yom Kippur. What's the difference?
Sorry.
Yeah, go for it, it's okay.
Doesn't that change?
Chametz might be in a similar category. That's an interesting discussion. We'll talk about chametz here also. That it could be that something which is temporarily usur, by its nature, you have to view the usur differently. So this, if anyone, when we were dealing with sugyas of drabanan, and I invoked the essay of Rabbi Yosef Engel. I know some of you looked at it. Didn't you read the whole thing? Anyone read the whole essay of Yosef Engel and Asvin Daraisa, that piece? Because he talks about this issue, even though it's a different issue. So if you recall, Yosef Engel disagrees with Rabbi Stevens and those other Achronim who say that Isser Darabanan has to be an Isser Gavra as opposed to an Isser Chepsa. He disagrees with that. But that's half of his point there. He has an issue with two related theories. He says there are some who believe that Isurei Drabanan are always Isurei Gavra, and I think that's wrong, says Rav Yosef Engel. And there are some who believe that temporary Isurim are always Isurei Gavra. And he didn't like that either. But that would be the idea here, that if something is Mutter yesterday and it's Mutter tomorrow, how can you say that there's something inherently negative about it? You can tell me Chazer is inherently negative because I can never have it. But if something is mutter today and mutter 2 days from now, how can you tell me that tomorrow it changes into something else? So there are a number of achronim who think that way. They may or may not say such a thing by chametz also. It's a discussion. But, you know, Yom Kippur, perhaps, is even more compelling. Because how could it be that every morsel of food in the world, which we use for mitzvahs all the rest of the year, every morsel of the food in the world is aser b'chafza on Yom Kippur? So there are those who say that yes, it's true, it's only an iser gavra, and that it doesn't make sense to prohibit that for a cut. Especially, keep in mind, here we're talking about, let's say, a pre-chinuch age cut. So all the more so, it doesn't make sense. Now, why doesn't it make sense? You could say two different reasons why it doesn't make sense. One reason is to say that the whole notion of not feeding a katan, an iser, especially a young katan, is because it's spiritually damaging, maybe. It's something inherently bad. But something which is only aser b'chafza, well, something is only aser b'gavra, is not spiritually damaging. So that might mean that maybe an Isser Drabanan is not going to be prohibited for cotton. And maybe an Isser Zmani also is not going to be prohibited for cotton. Right? Because if both of those don't have anything bad in the item, so for a little child to consume it, maybe that's okay. But there's another argument here also, and this could apply even for an older child. And then when we're talking about chinuch, that maybe the chinuch, in the negative sense, is only going to apply when they're actually doing something that they can perceive as completely wrong. Right? So to say that, oh, when I was a kid, I had a White Castle hamburger, so why can't I still have White Castle hamburgers now as an adult? I only use them because it's supposed to be some cool formula I have with a square. Whatever, so why can't I have those as an adult? Okay, we have to worry that if he remembers having them as a kid, he's going to want to continue having them as an adult. But there's not a connection. I had a cookie specifically on Yom Kippur, therefore I want to have that cookie on Yom Kippur when I grow up. It doesn't really affect the cookie. It's the same cookie. So they'll start fasting on Yom Kippur and they'll eat that cookie the day after Yom Kippur. It's not something which is going to have the same impact if it's only time dependent. Follow? Mm-hmm. You know, the activity itself is neutral. it's just taking place within a certain time slot, that maybe doesn't have the same chinuch. This, by the way, affects halacha l'maisa. So it's a question when training children in waiting between meat and milk. So there's also much more latitude for flexibility when you're dealing with children who simply don't have a concept of time, right? So they don't know how many hours have really passed. So whether it's really necessary to wait the full time when you're teaching a little child about not mixing meat and milk is a related point as well.
This is true, even though in general we're more strict by chametz and things that are eventually become.
Chametz has all reasons to be more machmer, but and we'll talk about that in this sugya also. But so chametz may come at you from a different direction. But here, let's say talking about the food. The extra chumra. It's an interesting discussion. You're bringing up a little bit of a separate point, but I'll just. Ties into things we've talked about, so I'll mention it for a second. You know, there is an interesting calculus going on about how much to be machmir for what reason. So, for example, I'm sure we discussed, we must have discussed in our discussions about the Raises and Drabanans, the roundabout by Yira by Yimatze. We didn't talk about this? Wow, it's amazing. So the Ran, the beginning of Pesachim, has a statement, which it could be that all the Rishonim agree with, that's what some argue, it's a widely held view, that the Torah prohibition of not owning chametz is there because we want to make sure we don't come to eat chametz. So it's like a siag min haTorah. So the Ran discusses, well then why don't we say you're not allowed to own chazer? You're not allowed to own other things that are prohibited in eating. So one thing is it's an Isser Karis, some more Chamer Isser, okay? But could also be, the Ran also mentions, that there's an extra reason to be Machmir because of its temporary nature. Because 51 weeks a year, Chametz is Mutter. So you're used to eating Chametz. So if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're hungry and there's Chametz in your house, maybe you'll make yourself a peanut butter sandwich. But you're not likely to make yourself a ham sandwich because you never have a ham sandwich. But a peanut butter sandwich, that could happen. So because it's mutter, that's why we have to be so machmir on that one week and say you can't own it. So then the question could become, this the Ran does not discuss, but the question comes up, well, why don't we say, okay, it's Yom Kippur, you should not be allowed to own any food in your house, right? Because every other day, if you're hungry, you just eat. On Yom Kippur, you're used to it. And it's even a shorter period of time. You don't have a week to get used to it. Maybe we should say you're not allowed to own any food on Yom Kippur. Right? Why don't we say that? So again, this is not in the Ran, but you could say, well, it's different because Yom Kippur, we can't eat anything. So you're going to have an awareness not to eat anything. And it's not as dangerous as where you could eat some things, but not chametz, and you'll forget that chametz is off limits. So you see how there's these very subtle competing svaras. Right, what exactly is a reason to be machmer? What's the reason to be mekel, etc., etc.? You know where you can find a discussion about this? Probably, yes, probably Rav Smigel also. But you know where else you can find a discussion about this? So this, I think, we alluded to, but this also fits into the whole Daraisa Drabanan issues. I think I may have mentioned that there's a tension with Daraisas and Drabanans and the whole concept of the siag, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that kolamosif goreya, whoever adds on is essentially taking away. So why is that okay then for Chazal to add new isurim? And the example the Gemara gives is with Adam and Chava, that there you have Chava saying that you're not allowed to touch the tree, which apparently you must have heard from Adam, not allowed to touch the tree, but really God only said you're not allowed to eat from the tree. So because she thought it was more and you can't touch the tree, so then she saw that touching it didn't mean anything, so apparently eating it was okay also, kolamosif goreya, by adding it took away. So how do we square this with the attitude of siag v'torah, that we should try to make a fence? So I would have thought the simple approach is that, like the Rambam by Baltosif that we discussed, it's all about presentation. That if Adam were to have said to Chava, listen, God said we shouldn't eat from the tree. it would probably be a good idea, we probably shouldn't touch the tree either, so that we should create a buffer zone. Then we would have said, very good, as you said with Torah, that's a smart move. But if it was conveyed to her that, oh, this was all a part of the instruction, don't eat from the tree, so then that led to a killful. That led to her misunderstanding the whole seriousness of the matter and the problems that emerged. So that's how I would have thought is a pretty straightforward way to answer the question. However, if you look in the Torah Tamima over there on that pasuk, which the Gemara is commenting on, that pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, so there he has a whole complicated cheshbon. And he basically says that, yes, you should make a siag, but you should only make a siag when it is justified by the circumstances. And if it's not, then that becomes problematic. So he goes through the calculus there of whether it's justified or not. And he talks about these kind of svaras. Is it like, was it, it's one tree in the middle of all the other mutter trees. And so does that make it like chametz on Pesach? Does that make it like food on Yom Kippur? Is it, should there be a siag? Should there not be a siag? So he invokes all of these approaches in trying to address that question. So the chumrah, the chametz that we have is built on to the situation, but it could be that the temporary nature puts it at a certain starting point. In any event, so there's a couple of reasons maybe to be makel by a temporary iser as far as the chinuch consideration. Right? Either because you could say that it's not inherently usur, and therefore that does not create a problem spiritually for a child. Or even if the child's a little bit older, but still, when it's so time-dependent, and it's not an action that is bad, it's only bad now, it's okay later, that maybe that's not something which we have to take the same chinuch approach to. So this comes up every Friday night. Why does this come up every Friday night? Anyone know? Yes? Kiddush and Shul, exactly. Right, so we make Kiddush and Shul, which is a great topic. That's too much of a tangent for now. We'll discuss at a different time why the minig still continues in many places to make Kiddush and Shul, as much as in many places does not continue. In Eretz Yisrael, generally not, but many places in America, they make Kiddush and Shul. Sorry, we make Kiddush and Shul. I'm happy to discuss the topic at greater length at a different time. But one detail that is asked is, so what do you do with the tasting of the wine? Since presumably this is not Matir Achila, because it's not Kiddush Makom Suda, so how do we have the wine get consumed without the Kiddush working? So the general practice is, usually there are children in Shul, to take one of the Ketanim and feed the cut, give let the Ketanim drink from the wine. So the question comes up, well, why is that mutter to do? If it's asur for the parents to drink, it should be asur for the children also. So there are various svaras. One svara that you find, there's another bunch of approaches to this question. One approach that you find is that this is a bittul asay, so it's a lower level. It's not an actual isser, and it's not even really the asay itself. It's a consequence of a, it's isser asay, so to speak. It's a consequence of not having done the mitzvah yet. So it's so far removed from an isser that we don't apply the problem of not feeding ketanim yisurim. That's how some explain. And others say because it's temporary. It's not something which is inherently bad. It's something which is just locked into a time frame, and even less so than Yom Kippur, because it's not inherently about that time frame. It's just because you haven't gotten up to something so far. It's not something which has any inherent meaning to it, and therefore it's not something that we concern ourselves will lead to any problems in the child's spiritual understanding. So that's how that's among the approaches that are taken to justify. Some throw in other approaches that it's because of the value of the chinuch of the kiddush and getting them involved, which is chinuch in a different sense also, because we're talking about the educational experience, but there are some poskim who talk about that. So there are various other approaches why this is justifiable, but that's a part of that whole discussion. Okay? Make sense? Alright, so with that, so now let's get back to this topic here. So this Rashi is on this, is interesting, the Rashi distinguishing between Kosevus, the Yom HaKippurim, and Achilas Isser, emphasizing that idea that Achronim say that Yom Kippur, there's no Isser Achila. Yom Kippur is about something else. Okay, but in general, Shirim are halacha moshe mesinai, says the Gemara. So then the Gemara goes on to ask, well, Shirim and Daraisin in him. Shirim are really all from the Torah. Tichziv Eretz Chito Sa'aru V'gafen Ateina V'rimon Eretz Leishamun Advash V'yomer of Chanin Kol HaPasuk Hazeh L'Shirim Demar. Every part of this pasuk is there to teach us something about a shir. Chito L'Bayis HaMenuga, how long you can stay in a house that has the status of Taras for contracting Tumah. So it's part of that shir. Okay, fine, so let's skip a little bit. But all of these, the Gemara just makes the point. Some of them were more involved than others, but all of these are used for a shir. Then the Gemara goes on to say, if you skip a little bit, Eretz Zeshem and Udvash, Eretz Shakol Shireha Kizesim, Kol Shirek Sakadaitech, Ha'ika Hani Damri, all the Shirim, didn't we just mention a bunch of exceptions? Ele'ema Shirov Shireha Kizesim. So that most of it is Kizesim. Okay, so in any event, so the Gemara goes back and forth about this, and ultimately concludes, Hilchosa Ninhu, they're all Halacha Moshe Mesinai, V'kras Machta Ba'alma. And this pasuk is an esmach. This pasuk is not the actual mucker for the concept of shir. So, what exactly does the shir do? And so, let's focus on iser. So, you have a concept that you're not allowed to eat a kezayis of chametz on Pesach, and if you do, you're subject to karis. Not allowed to eat a kezayis of chazer. If you do, you are subject to Malchus. So, what exactly does that say about the whole Isser Shabbo? Yes, sir.
It says either one that the Isser is to eat anything, but we can only punish you for Kazayas, or perhaps the Isser is only when you have an Achila, which we decided is Kazayas.
Okay, so if that's true, let's accept that framing. So, what nafkaminas would that have? Okay, so. What about eating less than a shear? Is that okay or not? So, what's the story? Is it? Oh, machlokas. That's always a safe answer. Right? So, it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Right? But no one says it's okay. It's a question whether it's an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan. It happens to be, this is interesting also, if you had more time, the Bavli presents this machlokas one way, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. In the Yerushalmi, you have different versions of this. It's interesting, there's more angles to explore. Like I said, this is a huge topic. We are not going to give it all the attention it deserves. We're just kind of passing through. But essentially, the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether it's an Isser D'Oraisa, like the position of Rabbi Yochanan, or it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, like the position of Reish Lakish. Now, the idea that it's Drabana, that would seem to imply that there isn't anything inherently wrong with eating less than a kezayis, but for whatever reason, Chazal prohibited it. The idea that it's also min haTorah is interesting. And this idea of Rabbi Yochanan, almost all the Rishon and Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Halach l'maisa, we say, chatzi shir asur min haTorah. That's the view of pretty much all the Rishon. So why is it asur min haTorah to have less than a shir? Yes, sir.
Either it's siyag d'oraisa, or it's just apparently
you can't have. Okay, so you're jumping right to the lumdus, which is understandable. And we did mention that lumdus in the context of our chinuch discussion, so it's doubly understandable. But the first step is machlokas, seems like it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara has two possible approaches. Either it's a pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Right? What's the language of the pasuk? Hopefully you got to see today a little bit. What's the language of the pasuk? Kol chelev. So when the Torah prohibits chelev, doesn't mean to say that only once you reach a certain threshold that all of a sudden becomes asur. You're shaykh for an onesh at a certain threshold. But all of it was part of the issur. Kol chalev. While the other possibility is the idea of chazilut strufe, a svara. Yes, sir. Oh, so that is not as much of a problem, but we need to explain it a little bit. Now, and that I'm going to have to do in a couple of phases. But first of all, it's Machlokus Rishonim. You saw this, right? Should have been on the sheets. Machlokus Rishonim, the Tosfos Rishonim in Yuma, and the Ran in Shavuos, about what is the real Makar. Is the real Makar the Pasuk, and the Svara explains it? And it's really one idea? Or is the Makar the Svara? Now, Jebediah is asking, how could a Makar be a Svara? That's not a problem for us so much, because the Gemara in a few places, when it says there's a Svara, just to give one famous example, the Gemara says this in the context of Hamotze Mechaver Olav Harayah. Whoever is trying to get the money has to bring the proof. So the Gemara asks, what's the source? And the response to that is, what do you mean, what's the source? A Svara. So the Achronim point out in a number of places that you have to interpret those statements as meaning that a Svara has the power of a Din Min HaTorah. Because if it didn't have the same power, that's the answer to the question. Lama likra svaruhu, why do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. I need a pasuk because I want to make it a Din Min HaTorah. So if you could ask a question like Lama likra, you're essentially saying that there's no advantage of a pasuk over a svara. Now still, I think particularly in this sugi that needs some more explanation. But theoretically, there is such an idea. And if you recall, Rav Elchanan raised this point, we're talking about the Rabbanit again, Rav Elchanan raised this point in saying his questions on the Ramban, that the Ramban, if he doesn't like Lo Sasser, Rav Elchanan said, then he can't like any Pasuk, because he'll have the same problems. And it can't be a Svara either, because the Svara is so rock solid, it's the same thing as a Pasuk. So that's why he said you have to find a different approach to Din and Rabbanan, according to the Ramban. If he doesn't like it being a Din Min HaTorah from Lo Sasser, then it can't be from any other Pasuk or from Asfar. So here, we have to figure out what is the nature of this Asfar. What do the words mean? Kevan de chazilitz de rufe yisura ka'achil. That since you are in a position to finish it up, so therefore this could create a whole issur. What does that mean? That's something that we'll have to come back to, because there are different interpretations as to what that means, and it makes a difference. And I think it also will teach us something about the nature of svara. And svara as a mechayev on a level of Minat Torah. So we're going to have to try to understand that. But for now, what do we have? We have either a pasuk or a svara, or maybe a pasuk and a svara, to create this issur d'oraisa of chatzi shir. So there are a few major questions the Achronim ask about this whole sugya. And one of them is as follows. So let's say I have a little Hershey's Kiss made out of chazer. So I'm not allowed to eat it. But what is the consequence of my... I don't mean in terms of onesh, we know there's no onesh. But what is the concept behind that prohibition? Should we say that if I have a little Hershey's Kiss made out of chazer, that I have now violated the Isser chazer, just below the threshold of punishment? The Isser of Behemoth Tmeah, more generally put? Or should we say no? There's no such thing. The Isser is to eat a Behemoth Tmeah, and this is at a subatomic level. This is not called eating from a Behemoth Tmeah. Less than a Kazai is not called eating. So it must be it's something else. The Torah has this general prohibition that when something is prohibited, don't come close to it. It is a general concept. And therefore, that includes anything that is a smaller part of something that is ultimately punishable. Now, that already could be traced to these two possible sources. Yes, sir?
But neither of them has to be a punishment.
Right. Either way, it's not going to be about punishment. It could be about other things. I'll give you an example in a second. So, this question that Ronim asked, and I will display in a moment, as much as it's a very achronish sounding chakira, this is explicit in at least one rishon, and not just as a way of understanding him, but it's essentially exactly what he says. So you'll see it's a very well-grounded question. But this is basically one opening issue. So this Hershey's Kiss made out of chazer, is it chazer? Or is it, no, it's the Isser Chatzi Shir, the general Isser Chatzi Shir. Which we could say relates to the question of whether it's the pasuk or the svara, because the svara of chazir litzdrufe, that it is fit to be created into a larger iser. So that it sounds like you're touching the bigger iser by eating the smaller amount. It sounds like on some level you're getting involved with the greater iser at this level too. While kol chaylev, especially since we're generally not talking about chaylev when we're actually applying it, so we're extrapolating from that one iser to everything else, sounds more like it's a general policy. But that pasuk is telling us is a general Torah attitude that you should stay away from things that are ultimately punishable. So what nafkamina would there be? So there are a few nafkaminas. One that we'll mention is the Ramban. Did you get to see the Ramban today in Torah Sodom on the sheets? Right, so the Ramban essentially explicitly says this issue. Because the Ramban asks the following question. There is a Mishnah, which he was commenting on, that says the following deal. But let's say somebody is sick on Yom Kippur and needs to eat. Right, so you might think, you know, that's a great deal. If you're a little bit less spiritually oriented, a little bit more Gashmias oriented, so you might say, wow, being sick on Yom Kippur is a great deal, because I've always been curious. I mentioned before those little White Castle hamburgers, so I've always been curious about those, so now I might as well eat those, right? Because if you're sick on Yom Kippur, you have to eat, so what's the difference? All food is awesome. Right? So what's the difference between eating something that's a cheeseburger or eating a glatt kosher item? They're all the same in the eyes of Halacha and Yom Kippur. They're all prohibited. So let me just choose whatever I'm most curious about. So the Mishnah says, no, we don't do that. Now we have a rule, Machilin Oso, Hakal, Hakal Tchila, that we feed you first the lowest iser. So if a person's only going to survive by eating the White Castle cheeseburger, so then yes, that would be what we would give him. But we don't jump right to that. That we try to see, even if just conceptually, will they be able to be saved with something that involves fewer Yisurim? Then we'd rather do that. So if there's an item that is mutter, just it happens to be Yom Kippur, then that's what we'd rather give you. If not that, then maybe something that's only us and the Rabbana. And if not that, then maybe something that's only Yisur Lav. And if not that, maybe something that's an Isser Nisa. Then we go at levels, we wouldn't go right to something which is prohibited in a higher level. So that's the din. Machilin oso akal akal. So he asks the Ramban, why do we need this din? Why does this din make any sense? Right, to distinguish between different levels of Isser. Why is that relevant? We have a general policy when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur. And this, you know, shouldn't know from any illness, but it comes up. We talk about this in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that we have a general policy that if somebody has to eat for medical reasons, so we tell them, don't just eat the whole thing, but do what we call shiurim, that you should have less than a shiur. when you eat. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds in terms of telling somebody they can only have this small amount all of Yom Kippur, because the shear expires. Right, to say that the shear of eating a Yom Kippur is a half a kosevis, is less than a kosevis, that's not a full sentence, because it's a kosevis, what did you say? It's a kosevis b'chtei achilos pras, that there's a time frame that expires, that it's as long as it takes to eat a loaf of bread. So once that time period expires, we usually say l'halacha that it's around the neighborhood of 9 minutes, so then it starts over again. So when somebody is sick, if they can afford to do it this way, so we tell them that they should have a small amount, and then once 9 minutes pass, then they can have another small amount. So that's the way we generally do it. So asks the Ramban.
Question?
Yeah.
Are we usually made up to that sense to say that? Because I just,
yeah, I mean, every situation has its own nuances in terms of defining all different elements, but assuming we can work off a consistent discussion, a consistent standard right now, let's assume a kazayas, whatever that is, within k'dei achilas pras, whatever that is, which also is subject to machlokas. But let's assume we can agree on what it is, and then say, have that once every 9 minutes or so, and then the clock starts over again. So says the Ramban, so that's what we're generally doing. When somebody is eating because they're sick and they're eating on Yom Kippur, it's generally in this way. They're eating a chatzi shir. So if that's the case, asks the Ramban, why do we care? Why are we saying that this is Rabbanon is better than Truma and Truma is better than Chazer? The other way around, Chazer is better than Truma. According to this, Chazer is better than Truma and Truma is better than Chelev. Why are we saying all that? We're not dealing with a full amount. We're dealing with a chatzi shir. So why should we make such a distinction? So what is the premise of the Ramban's question? Yes,
Avi?
Yeah, basically, or to say a little more, it totally loses its identity as that substance. Right? To say, we understand that whether you're eating chazer or you're eating chalev, you're not going to get malchus or karis for this, right? Because A, it's mutter under the circumstances, but also even without that, you're not risking that because it's less than a kazayis anyway. So we know that the onesh is not coming to it, but the impression of the Mishnah is that there's a greater chumrah of the yisr, that something which is chiyuv misa is just worse than something which is a chiyuv malchus. So therefore, if you can get away with just eating the chiyuv malchus, you should do that. But, says the Ramban, here you're at a subatomic level. So it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't have a status as truma or chazer. It's just chassi shir, it's all the same. So that's the Ramban's premise. You see, it's explicitly like that side in the Achronim, that below this level, it doesn't hold on to its status as whatever Isser we're talking about. It all blends into one general concept, an Isser Chatzi Shir. And there's no distinction, no one is more severe than the other. So the Ramban has two answers. One answer is that maybe this is a situation where the person is Nevach so sick that the doctor says, you can't do it like this. You can't eat so slowly. You have to right away eat a large amount. And that's why it matters. So this is an outlier kind of situation where the person is actually eating full shear on your kibbutz. That's one answer he gives. The other answer he gives is that his premise is wrong. Is that maybe, even at less than a kazayas, maybe there still is a problem of identity, and that one is still considered to be more chumer than the other. So essentially, the two possibilities in the Achronim on this question are pretty much explicitly in the Ramban. Okay, so far so good? There are many other nafkaminas of this. In the interest of time, because I want to move on to another sugya soon, we're not going to go through all of them. If you have the sheets from this morning, I would tell you, for example, look at the Rambams in Hilchos Shavuos. two different Rambams in Hilchos Shavuos, which seem to revolve around this issue also, a little bit of homework assignment, extra credit. If you look at the Gemara in Krisus, it also seems to be affected by this issue. And there is more, so we will continue this, because I want to say a little more about this on Monday, I guess, but for a brief period of time, but I'll just lead into it with one question to think about, which is going to be a gateway to a lot of other issues. And that is another Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. In Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, the Rambam writes that you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. That's so surprising. And he says, if you eat chametz on Pesach, you chayav karis. Again, we knew that. And he says, if you eat less than a kezias of chametz, that's also a problem. That's also usur. Okay, none of that should be surprising to us, right? But he says one thing which gets everybody all worked up. You know what that is? He says you can't have less than a kezias of chametz because the Torah says regarding chametz, lo ye'ochel, that the chametz should not be eaten. So everyone erupts and says, what do you mean? The Gemara gave us two possible sources for the Isser of Chazi Shir. Either it's a Svara or it's Chazi Litzdrufe. Why does the Rambam need to bring a different source? Why does he need his own Pasuk to tell us this? And that's what we'll start with next time. I'll mention a smaller question that the Nosei Kalim also asked, is probably more easily addressed. That if he's going to bring another Pasuk, so it's a funny choice, right? Why is it a funny choice? Well, that's the question, why bring another pasuk at all? Right? But once he's not bringing Kol Chelev and he's bringing a new pasuk, this is a particularly strange choice, you might say. Yeah, why? Le'echel, why? Okay, but the point they're asking on is that we just said that Achila equals Kedayas. So now you're saying from the word Ye'achel, that's what tells you even less than a Kezias? It's the opposite. Achila means Kezias, right? We were saying in Yom Kippur, since we don't talk about Achila, Kezias isn't the thing. So Achila means Kezias. So he brings the word Lo Ye'achel to mean even less than a Kezias? So some of the notes that came and raised that question too. Presumably the answer to that is he's not focusing on the choice of verb, but on the construction. He's saying that it's not just that you should not eat the chametz, it's that lo ye'achel, no chametz should be eaten. So if it was telling you not to eat chametz, you could say, okay, I can't be considered achila less than a kezias. But similar to kol chelev, we're saying look at the object, that the object is still all part of the iser. So since we're talking about the chametz being eaten, not you eating the chametz, to say all chametz should not be eaten, that's a way of saying that, I mean, that's what you're referring to by talking about the kol part, right? That tells us that there is a iser on the stuff itself, regardless of how much you're eating.
Isn't that the same story that we apply later on then? It says that a shrua on the item itself, you can't eat it all, but if you say shrua, shalosh,
Maybe. It's a little bit involving other things, but maybe. So we'll pick up with this point next time. Why does the Rambam need a special pasuk? And how does that shed light on a lot of other things? And ultimately what I want to see here is how we can understand the svaras of Chazal Litzdrufe, how that teaches us something about the whole nature of using a svara to get a din. And then we'll, God willing, move on to other things. So who wants it out for us? Daniel, down for us? Okay, Ashrei Yoshev Beisach, I'll look at Sarah.